And welcome back. You're listening to the Feminist Radio Collective Wednesday installment. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1 FM, broadcasting without a license from the FCC and streaming online at freakradio.org. Next up, I'm really pleased and honored and happy to have Kate with us, who's working on the Anarcho Project. It's a people's history project that's been going on for about 2 years, and we're going to hear all about it. Kate, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, hi.
Hi. So thanks so much for joining us. I know you're on the road right now, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about the project and tell us what you're doing right now.
Well, I just arrived in Louisville, Kentucky last night, and I'm in a community space right now, making myself some lunch and getting prepared to do some interviews this afternoon. And do a little presentation on my project also this evening.
Nice.
I've been on the road for about a week now, hit four cities already, and it's basically a continuation of the project I started, you're right, about 2 years ago, in the summer of 2003. And it is a people's history project. I'm interviewing anarchist and anti-authoritarian women and transgender people.
Mm-hmm.
About their politics and where they come from and their opinions on different issues and their visions for, you know, a better world.
Mm.
And so I've been doing that for about 2 years, and it's really exciting work. And, thanks for having me on air.
Yeah. So how did it start? How did you get the idea and the impetus to do this project?
Well, initially I had been with a collective with some other women in Phoenix called the Brave Dames,
mm-hmm.
and it was a radical feminist group. But I was much more interested in pursuing specifically anarchist feminist work,
mm-hmm.
and action. And we were initially thinking about doing a magazine and this and that, and that, all that didn't really work out. And I was really interested in doing a project that was a little more long-term and a little more in-depth,
mm-hmm.
than a lot of the stuff, you know, like the Food Not Bombs kind of things, or the study groups kind of things, where it's not real in-depth, it's just, you know, a weekly thing that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of thought it up. And I got some help from a couple different friends. A lot of people think that I'm like, I have some kind of funding for it. I don't. It's all self-funded.
Uh-huh.
And it's all completely done. It's not within any academic setting.
Yeah.
It's all, you know, I have the complete rights to all the interviews. I just kind of thought up and had some really good help finding other people. The anarchist network and community has been tremendously helpful.
Yeah.
It really could not be done without the sort of network that's been built up of houses to stay in and venues to speak at and, you know, recommendations of other radicals along the road. And so I just, you know, I hit the road back then. I did the West Coast and sort of Colorado, New Mexico, that, you know, Arizona.
Uh-huh.
And then that fall, I went from Phoenix, moving out to South Carolina, and did Texas and Louisiana on the way out there. And then last summer, I traveled all throughout the Northeast,
uh-huh.
and Midwest, Great Lakes region, and then moved to New Orleans, which has been wonderful.
Uh-huh.
This fall, and I just started the southeast portion of the project, so it'll be pretty much almost all of the contiguous 48 states,
yeah.
in the U.S.
That's amazing.
And thanks, it's been a lot of hard work.
Yeah. So what are you going to produce as a result of this? Can you tell the listeners what's going to come out of it?
Well, there's several big aspects to it. One of them is recording people's history of the resistance that is going on in the United States, in the heart of the empire, during this time. You know, one of the most unfortunate things about radical movements in other places and what we can study about radical movements, like, say, the resistance movements during Nazi Germany, is that so much of the information is, you know, the state filtrated or mainstream media filtrated.
Yeah.
Word. So hopefully this will serve as documentation of the resistance movements that are going on
in
a
lot
US
of
right now.
Stuff that gets lost. Otherwise.
Oh, yeah, and many, many times it gets lost.
Yeah.
So that's one big part of it. There's most of the interviews are between an hour and 2 hours long,
mm-hmm.
and it's I have 167 interviews now. And probably about 200, I think, by the time I'm done with it.
Uh-huh.
So that's a big
huge
portion of it.
Yeah.
The products that will be produced out of it within the next year, hopefully sometime in 2006, I will be publishing the Anarcha book, which will include about 20 to 30 selected interviews.
Uh-huh.
It's not supposed to be a representative sample. It's supposed to be cover as wide a range of anarchist thought and radical thought in the U.S. Anarchist and anti-authoritarian thought in the U.S. of women and trans folks. And so really covering, you know, urban, rural, different economic backgrounds, different ethnic backgrounds, different genders, different political perspectives, all those different things. The website is up already. That's anarcha.org, and there will be audio download available. And with anarcha.org, there will also be there's already a huge compendium of anarcho-feminist writing and literature on there,
mm-hmm.
as well as like an image gallery.
Mm-hmm.
So there's already a lot of resources available on there. And then there may be a video made in the future. We're still kind of... I'm still looking for some other input on that one because it's so much work as it is, and I do feel at some point that it'll be time for me to work on other things.
Yeah, but you are videoing all the interviews. Is that right?
I'm videoing everybody that's comfortable with it. If people want me to have the lens cap on, you know, it's very much an interviewing style that's respectful of the people I'm speaking with.
Yeah, and are you finding that there is at least one feminist woman or trans person in every state you've been to?
Yes.
That's really great news.
Word, yes. If I don't find them when I'm there, I find out about them later. There's anarchists all over the place, and nobody has, you know, there could be one right beside you, and you wouldn't even know it. And, you know, that's one of the most exciting things, is even in a city like, oh, I need to find my plug because my phone might run out of juice. So if I hang up on you, I apologize, and please call me back.
We'll call you back.
But even in a city like, say, Salt Lake City, Utah,
uh-huh.
I wasn't able to find anybody to interview, but I did find out later on that they have a thriving animal rights and environmental uh-huh. anarchist perspective group there, and that, you know, I didn't connect with them, but they are there. And, yeah, almost every single state I've found people. And if I didn't, that's just because... it was bad timing.
Right. And do you find that there's is there regionalism in the folks that you're talking to in terms of how they think about anarchism or feminism or anti-authoritarianism? What are the different perspectives that you're seeing come out?
Regionalism. That's an interesting... I mean, one aspect of this is that I'm to talk about the results of the interviews at this point,
mm-hmm.
because it's so
big.
There's so much data that it's really hard to generalize without like influencing the answers with my own
mm-hmm.
with my own biases.
Yeah,
but I will say that there's a couple really strong running themes. Just one moment, please.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
Awesome.
One of the strongest running themes is that people see anarchism and different oppressions as very much interrelated,
uh-huh.
and that it's not like we have sexism in one corner versus racism in the other corner.
Uh-huh.
People are seeing a continuum and a relationship between, you know, the prison violence that's going on in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
and abuse that's going on in Abu Ghraib.
Mm-hmm.
Or... the rape culture that exists in the United States and the femicide that's going on in Ciudad Juarez, things like that. And so I think that that's really inspiring, and that is allowing people to have a perspective of groups that in the past were not able to work together. You know, not saying, you know, racism is so much more important than feminism. It's like, no, it's part of the same problem. And let's really address that. Other issues, I think... one thing that truly surprised me, because I'm not a spiritual person, or a really religious person, is that I started asking the question, are you atheist, agnostic, religious or spiritual, any of those things?
Uh-huh.
And a surprisingly large amount of people have started telling me that, well, I know it's really not supposed to be, you know, an anarchist thing, but I really have a strong spiritual, you know, relationship, and it really influences my politics.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I thought that was really interesting because it's so under talked about within mm-hmm. the radical community.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, we're all supposed to be atheists and no gods, no masters, but
yeah.
There's all these folks out there who really are inspired by spirituality, and it informs a lot of their actions and their political beliefs.
That's really interesting. I notice also on the list of sort of questions and stuff that you talk about from your website that you ask stuff about backgrounds and demographics, and also some of the things that you were just talking about around seeing intersectionality and connections between issues. I'm also really curious if you have any sort of stories or thoughts or things that people are telling you about this question about the future, sort of expectations for the future, and how people are framing that kind of stuff.
Well, that is my favorite question. And it's a definitely a hard one to answer. If I had to redo the whole project over again, I might put it closer to the beginning, because people sometimes get worn out after talking for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And I feel, and maybe it's just not phrased well enough. And it's also just such a challenge, you know.
Yeah.
What is your vision for an anarchist society?
You know,
it's hard to sum up in a few words. So many times people will say, "Well, I don't really want to have a vision. I want it to just happen." And I personally feel like it's really important for all of us to have a vision of what we're working towards. And so I really like, you know, sometimes pause and let people think about it for a little bit, and it'll start to tumble out.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's something that's really needs a lot of development in our movement right now. And I couldn't really tell you a lot of answers off the top of my head, because people have such different answers for it. There's not like a general theme. I mean, lack of capitalism, lack of an overall state is sort of a
basic. Yeah.
That's the basics, but individuals have much, you know, different perspectives. And to me, I'm really looking at and have developed a vision that involves different areas being able to develop their own type of anarchist communities that might look very, very different from one another.
Yeah.
And being able to coexist within the same, you know, bioregion.
Yeah.
And I guess that brings me back to the regionalism question that you asked. And I guess I wanted to say that there is definitely some regionalism that I see going on. I mean, the Northwest definitely has more of a, has a lot of influence from the Tree Sits move, you know, the Tree Sits, and, you know, the Bay Area has so much influence from just being a melting pot of different races and different ethnicities and this long-standing history of amazing
organizing, yeah.
Radicalism. You know, and then the certain areas like Albuquerque, New Mexico, you wouldn't guess it, but there's all these people who are really into sort of like a back-to-the-land kind of perspective. You know, I interviewed one woman who had, you know, she homeschooled her kids, and she had like this entire menagerie in her backyard of, you know, little goats and little little ponies and chickens and I think geese, and it was just wild. So you find little pockets where people are catching, you know, sort of catching on to certain ideas and then just running with it real far. Denver, Colorado had a little community where it was in a mile-by-mile area, there was 10 different anarchist houses.
Wow.
And they were all pretty young and a little bit punky.
Huh.
But they had this thriving community that was going on that was very, like, urban-based.
That's really neat.
And useful.
Huh. I wanted to also ask you about those kinds of formations of how things are happening in these different regions are completely also about the kinds of visions that people have for our lives and what kind of worlds we can create. And so it's always, it's wonderful to hear about these different things that are happening around the country, in part just because it gives this sense of connection, you know, and a feeling of a lot of things happening all over, which I find in this time when we get pretty atomized and feel a little bit, you know, embattled in terms of our politics and what we want. It's just really great to hear that there are other people out there doing stuff.
I was just at a queer sanctuary in the mountains of Tennessee, and an anarchist cooperative house owned by the collective in Memphis, Tennessee. You know, huh. So you hear of these places, and that's my favorite part about visiting the Southeast, is there's this huge stereotype that South is so backwards and it's so segregated there, like the rest of the country's not.
Right.
And how everyone is, you know, they're just so right-wing down there. And there is a thriving, really strong radical tradition in the Southeast that I find really thrilling.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why I love living here.
I wanted to ask you, too, I mean, I read the Anarcha Project as a deeply feminist project for a whole lot of reasons, but I wanted to get your perspective on how you see it as a feminist work in progress, you know, that aspect of this collection of stories. And yeah.
Quite simply, I feel that it's the feminist side of it comes out in that it's increasing the voices, increasing the broadcast of the voices of women and trans folks within this movement who are severely underrepresented. Even though I feel like women sometimes make up the backbone of the movement,
yeah,
in many ways, I see them doing more work.
Yeah.
I see them really making things happen and coming up with amazing ideas and really considering how things are affecting the community and the environment and children, and really not getting their opinions taken seriously or really broadcast out into the world, into the world of opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's a real shame that there's not more anarchist women writers.
Mm-hmm.
I really encourage women and trans folks to write more, and to really, like, utilize resources like InfoShop and Indie Media and radical spaces where we can voice, like, where there is the venue to voice our words and our work. So in that's pretty much the main point of that. My personal politics are veering much more closer to anarchism lately than feminism, just due to the overwhelming presence of liberal feminism within the feminist movement. And
yeah.
I find a lot of their politics downright, like, repulsive. it's a lot easier to stay inspired when you're dealing with anarchists than with feminists, I feel.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a balance, you know, figuring out.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, and some people definitely feel different than that, but that's kind of where I'm coming from. And a lot of that has come from the lessons that I've learned from doing these interviews and from speaking to all these radical women. And a lot of that's also come from taking care of kids and living in a house with young children. And just finding, you know, seeing all the ways that liberal feminism has just completely failed working mothers and their children and their families.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of not so much about the project as more about my own personal perspective, but that's my answer.
No, but it's important because I think that one of the things that I appreciate about the concept of the project, and I'm really looking forward to, you know, more and more stuff coming out from it, is this way of, you know, so often we go into liberal feminist spaces and it's, like you said, totally repulsive and not interesting and not useful. But at the same time, there isn't necessarily an easy way to find or create, you know, real feminist anarchist spaces, which is very frustrating because in my mind, there isn't any, it's like water into water, you know, like the way that that anarchism should be is utterly feminist, you know, to its bones. And the way that practice ends up happening so often is not. So I'm appreciating the sense in which I see you carving out a space for both archiving histories that get lost of women and trans resistance, and also just marking that this exists, you know, because I think that it actually provides a space for a sort of deeper enrichment and inspiration for doing anarchism, because it can also be explicitly feminist, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, and anarchism stands to grow a lot from the contributions of women and feminism, and women and transgender and people and feminism. And I feel it's losing out on a lot right now because it's not listening to those voices. It's not listening to the moms who say, I can't go to that meeting because it starts at 9:30 at night.
Right.
I have kids, you know, I have to get up in the morning. Or to the people who say, you know what, like, pictures of dead things on the wall does not inspire me.
Right.
Like, sorry, your craft posters, like, I'm glad they influence you. Like, don't put them in the center of the community space. Like, put them in your bedroom.
Yeah.
And it's treated as if these people, you know, oh, well, you're liberal because you don't want dead things on the wall. Like, we need more visions of hope and inspiration and reasons to struggle as opposed to just death. And, you know, I was involved in an argument several years ago with an anarchist group that all of the T-shirts that they wanted to screen print all had skulls or images of death on them.
Right.
That is not what anarchism is about to me. It's about people, you know, learning to get along with each other without somebody with a gun telling them how to do it. It's not complicated. You know, it's fairly simple. And, you know, and when many women, you know, have a lot of skills that are undervalued in helping people learn how to get along with each other, and helping teach children how, you know, to grow up within a society that's, you know, how to grow up and deal with other people without using, you know, violence and without resorting to, you know, I have the biggest gun. That doesn't mean I'm a pacifist.
Right.
It just means that we need to recapture those skills.
Yeah.
And learn how to, you know, if it comes to a screaming match, you know, that's fine, but let's figure out how we can deal with this stuff without calling the cops.
Right.
You know, one of my biggest inspirations, Maria Montessori, did a lot of development of that back, you know, in the early 1900s.
Yeah.
And so we need to be, you know, appreciating and valuing, you know, all these contributions that women have created. It's not all about Peter Kropotkin, but it's also not all about Emma and Volturine. You know, we need the voices of today
as much as
valuing the umpteenth, you know, marriage, you know, Emma Goldman piece, you know,
yeah.
that's great that you hated marriage in the early 1900s, but it's 2005. It's more than a century later. So.
Well, and the other thing that is really fabulous about this project is that, I mean, I feel like just relatively recently, Volturne de Clare has been kind of excavated as a, you know, there's just this new reader out of her stuff and books, and in terms of how people think, it's almost like you're doing pretty good if you mention Emma Goldman. You're doing even better in terms of being an anarchist feminist guy if you mention Volturne de Clare. Mm-hmm. But in terms of thinking about the everydayness of anarchism, you know, one of the things that we have lost is all the ordinary women who back then were really doing incredible work. And one of the things that we don't even particularly have so much today is like stars like them, you know, women that are doing this stuff. I mean, maybe there's a few, but it's a radically different model of how to remember and how to memorialize and how to recognize people doing theory and practice and thinking about their lives in these terms. It's really important.
Thank you very much. I'm glad that people are getting that, because that's a big part of it. It's, anarchism is not about theory, it's about action.
Yeah.
And so an interviewee just last weekend up in Tennessee was saying, one of the questions is, how did you learn about anarchism? Was it through like books or friends or zines or the internet? And I love the older women who are like, why? We didn't even have the internet.
Yeah.
But she said, and practice. Practice was a big part of that. And I was like, well, we'll talk more about that, because that really is that really is true for myself as well, but I hadn't thought of it, that that one of the biggest ways we learn is by practicing how to create the world that we want, you know, right here and now, as you know, as a practice for the future.
Mm-hmm.
She was a great interview. That's, you know, it's such an honor for me to be able to travel around and meet all of these different people who are really creating their own choices and their own lives without a textbook example of how to ethically go forward in this state, you know.
Yeah.
And how to create your own life, doing the best that you can, inevitably being hypocritical sometimes, within this uber capitalist, uber violent society. And so it's a real honor for me to be able to learn from all these people. I feel like I'm finally getting somewhere. Sometimes I say it was my self-funded cheapo grad school.
Yeah, you're probably better off than the rest of the people that are in this room doing this show. We're all in grad school, and we think you're doing a better job.
Well, thank you. I like to think so, too. It's terrible.
Well, Kate, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us. And if you just stay on the phone for one more second, I want to tell you a couple of things about the archive of this program so that you can have it for later.
Wonderful. Hey, thanks to everybody out there. Check out my website, www.anarcha.org. And if you know somebody in the Southeast that you'd like me to interview, or if you want to get in contact with me about the project, you can visit the website or email me at kate@anarcha.org.
Cool.
Thanks.
All right. And for the rest of you, some music.